Welcome to Win Tucson, a new voice and a different point of view. Here, it's about issues, not politics. Treat her like a lady after she's given to you. Here's your host, Kathleen Wynn.
We have made it to Friday, and I am happy to tell you we're going to jump right in. I have Commander Jay Furman, who's running to be the representative in South Texas, Congressional District 28. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks for having me on.
Maybe that's prophetic. Be maybe because I introduced you as the representative. Maybe that's just what God intends, right?
There it is.
we'll just say. So you served in the military 28 years. Does the district you're running for match your years of service?
It does. It's a bunch of easy numbers here.
And let my listeners know how you served in the military, what you did, and why you would be such a good person to serve in this seat in Texas. Jay?
Hey, lost you there.
Yeah, there you are. So I don't know if you heard the question. The question was, you served in the military 28 years. You are now running for Congress in Southern Texas. Why are you the best person for the job in Texas?
Well, thanks for that question, Kathleen. I tell you, I've had the opportunity to be abroad and serve all over the world, and maybe not soak in the proverbial boiling frog pot here. Mm-hmm. And so when I began my military career, I did begin it on the Texas border flying Blackhawks. Then I left, and then for the better part of those 28 years, all over the place. And in that time, I experienced what we're experiencing now. It has an actual technical legal term, weaponized mass migration. Mm-hmm. And when I encountered our border after retiring, I was shocked that we were experiencing what I've seen several times. And what is also, and what we don't know here, is the biggest killer of Western civilization in the modern era. Weaponized mass migration has killed more countries in the modern era than anything else. It's been used 84 times as a modern warfare tactic, and it is truly warfare. And so, you know, bringing that lifelong career experience or lens to the problem set in my home state, I immediately knew I had to do something and run for, well, at first, we tried to do a documentary, and then when that didn't work and didn't get the attention we wanted, we then went into trying to run in for the weakest part of the border. I know you guys have a really bad problem there in Arizona.
Yes, we do.
I've been there. But here historically, at least in Texas, the Rio Grande Valley and the Laredo sector have the most illicit flows coming through because we have the biggest port in the country. Laredo, Texas, even compared to the shipping ports, ships 40% of U.S. commerce that's shipped into the country through Laredo, Texas. So you can imagine all of that commerce, then it's, you know, a lot of illicit flows come through, drugs and the rest of it. So, and then south of that in Rio Grande or in the Rio Grande Valley in general, you know, we have open, you know, wars like you guys have and have had. So I had to respond. I couldn't throw off the service uniform yet, and I just had to do it in a different way.
Yes.
I bring a career of experience to this, and a lens from before, and then an after picture, and I don't want that to be the final picture.
I understand, and this is a seat that is currently held by a Democrat who I believe has been indicted, and so who are you running against at this point?
Yeah, Kathleen, so this guy, Henry Cuellar, is kind of a cutout for everything that's bad in the country, politics or D.C.-wise. Henry Cuellar is a 20-year incumbent, and he's been indicted for bribery, money laundering, and foreign influence. He's basically represented the state of Azerbaijan and the state of Mexico. And it's kind of disgusting, honestly. You know, in the Mexican representation, he's taking money for bribes, illicit through a sham LLC through his wife and daughter. You know, he's actually taking jobs from his own constituents and lowering their wages. He's fighting to lower the remittance tax back to Mexico. And then on the Azerbaijan, he was helping lobby for Azerbaijan at the time they didn't want to remove their mines and they were perpetuating a genocide on Armenia. And that's been a conflict that's been going on for a long time. But when he was doing it, he was trying to keep the international pressure off of that that Soviet vassal state while they were killing tens of thousands of people. So, you know, it's not good here on the Texas border as it is the Arizona border. And you have the same kind of, foolishness going on, and D.C. is run away, and we're really corrupt from the border all the way up.
Well, and it's so important. So this is a seat that we can flip. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on, number one, I support you wholeheartedly. You know that we met because we were both running in border districts, and you beat three other people to get to be the person running in the Republican primary. I think it's important that even though we're in Arizona and we're hearing you and you're in Texas, this is a seat that we need to flip, and we're hearing that we may lose the House. We may get the Senate, but we may lose the House, and we have like a 6-person majority right now. So it's so important that we get out of our Arizona bubble and start to find these races that we could make a difference in. If you're in Arizona and you know someone in Texas or you know someone in this district, be aware. Jay, how do people find you on the internet? Where should they go?
Well, thank you for that, Kathleen. And real quick, I should have led with this, Kathleen, and I didn't. We have a new poll that was sponsored by the National Republican Congressional Committee in District 28 in Texas. It is showing that Trump will sweep South Texas.
Wow.
7 points over Harris. He has moved the needle 14 points since the last time he was on the ballot. That is a historic tsunami. This is LBJ's old district, the 110-year Democrat district. And so that's happening. And so on the heels of that, this seat, as you just well said, is very flippable if I just have the resources. This is something we knew all along, but now the NRCC has come to do a poll. Now people are starting to go, oh, okay, we see it now. And so if I am just moderately funded in this race, then I can almost get it by double digits, they're saying. Crazy historic, but it only can be done with donations from folks, because I don't know, you know, you alluded to it, maybe we're about to lose the House perhaps.
Yes.
And so the reason that this is all happening is because we have politics, the status quo politics, and the whole, you know, the struggle, what you fought, the struggle between the establishment and the People's Party. And it's a terrible moment right now in our country, because we're about to, I can tell you, America, Arizona, that we're about to run off of a cliff that we cannot come back from. And it's not just the socialism cliff. It's not just the structural reform and change. I'm talking, like, think back to the Black Lives Matter summer 2020 when riots were going, in Portland and Seattle. Now imagine that in your town or in your neighborhood. This thing, what we just ingested, this population bomb, is going to go off and explode just like that everywhere. And so it's that's why it's a country killer. So I am set to win if we can just get funded.
And how to, and you did, and you
easiest.
So Jay, real quick.
Oh, I skipped right over that.
Yes, your website.
Yeah, it's easy. It's CommanderFurman.com, and that's spelled FURMAN.com. CommanderFurman.com.
Jay, thank you for joining us. And we're going to go to a break and keep on fighting. And we'll check back in with you before the election. Thank you for coming on Win Tucson today. We are going.
I love it. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. So you are listening to 1030 The Voice, and got some special news at the end of the show. But we'll be back after this with my very special guest, Dave Smith. Welcome back to Win Tucson. And we've got Jay Furman at the border in Texas running there, hopefully to flip a seat. I think this election is going to be historic, number one, if we get to have it. Number two, I invited Dave in because Dave is an expert on a lot of things. And Iranian operatives charged in the U.S. with hacking Donald Trump's presidential campaign and that has RNC written all over it. And Dave's the closest thing I've gotten to the RNC. So, Dave Smith, welcome to my show on Friday, and thanks for popping in. I appreciate it.
Well, happy Friday. It's great to be here. You know, this is funny. Boy, Iran is just in the news constantly nowadays. They're busy trying to start a proxy war with Israel. They're trying to assassinate President Trump and other world leaders, and they're busy hacking into the RNC's email and trying to pass that around to the DNC and to the media. They are busy campers. I'll tell you what, they are kicking a dog, and when that dog gets up to bite them, I think they're going to get bit pretty hard.
Yeah, in the last few days, I got a text from Ruben Gallego asking for money. I thought, how the hell did you get my number? But I do know him, but I was surprised. So, I think I can use that word. So, one of the other things, I don't know if you saw this report, that maybe there were Stinger missiles that are targeting President Trump's plane. Have you seen that?
One of the problems we have, obviously, is Stinger. And this was a fear. If everybody remembers back when we were arming the Mujahideen, back when the Soviet Union was in Afghanistan, we were concerned because we lost track of so many of the Stinger missiles, which would bring down not just the president's plane, not just the president's helicopter, but civilian airliners as well. So there was a lot of concern about that. And that's one of the questions, is how much of this, and let's be honest, we aren't keeping track of the those things that are going to the Ukraine. We don't know. And then we hear that these weapon systems are ending up in terrorist hands. Well, if these Stinger missiles are being distributed, that's a very real threat. And let's all remember 2001, September of 2001, the whole country ground to a halt, and aviation literally was frozen because of 19 terrorists. I'm going to tell you right now, two terrorists with two Stinger missiles would shut down air commerce in the United States for a long time, and people would be terrified. And this
is one of
the
problems. And we're hearing it came in through New Mexico.
Well, you know, this is the thing. We don't even have a border anymore. The fact that we're speculating, you know, as your man that was just on a few minutes ago talking about Texas, you know, in the valley there. And I love that it's swinging red for the first time. But the problem is Tucson sector is, of course, the largest of the Border Patrol sectors. And we've seen this huge influx when Texas shut down their border. We saw this huge influx here. And we know, of course, that the Biden administration, or whatever, whoever's administration it is. Well, that's a speculation.
But Mark Kelly and Kamala are heading to the border. It's going to be all better. She needs to go up in the polls here, so she's going to fix it. I'm sure this week she's going to plug in her border czar stuff. You know it's coming, right?
Exactly. And Mark Kelly, of course, laser-focused. I don't think he knows what that word means, laser-focused on the border, because I don't see that guy down there. And, of course, we got these guys bouncing around the border with Hathaway down there in Santa Cruz, and it's like, gang, they don't take this seriously. But the point is, for America, this may be the most brutal lesson of all times, is the fact that you must have a secure border to be a safe, sovereign nation. We form governments to protect the people, the very first function of government. And yet here it is, that's the very first failure of this administration, was to preserve and protect the sovereignty of the United States. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to complain, they're going to whine, they're going to blame Trump when some terrible event happens, but we are literally unprepared for any such thing. We've weakened and our civil police corps throughout this country. Tried to federalize it, and I just don't feel ready for any kind of crisis. It's just terrifying.
Well, these hackers getting caught, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Yes,
there is so much more. There are terrorist cells in our country right now. There are 39 days till the, I don't even know what.
38. It's
crazy. It's under 40 days. And I think everyone's holding their breath because we've gotten numb. Think about this. There's been two assassination attempts on the lead Republican candidate. And we are like, can I have a bag of chips? We are not.
Exactly.
We are not.
We're normalizing assassination. What society does that? In the first world. We don't do that.
And then they're, 28% of people that don't like Trump are like okay with that. Like they actually want him to be assassinated. What people are those? Are those Americans? Because it's fine if it's not your guy, but when it is your guy, you know, this isn't about personalities. We have lost our sight of how this country was founded, about the freedoms. We have lost sight of our freedoms because they've been eroded, they've been taken away. You have no freedom of the press right now. You are being funneled every day. You are being kept in the dark. We are mushrooms. We are being fed crap. And we just don't know what the truth is anymore. And to think that these people could come in, attack the RNC, you know, for whatever purposes, but then to know that there's terrorist cells, there's weapons, and that there's a, you know, there's five other terrorist groups, according to Congressman Matt Gaetz, that are currently targeting Donald Trump.
Right. There are 33,000 gangs in the United States. There are Chinese owning property near military bases throughout this country. All you people driving in your car, I can feel you're just pulling into the local bar right now to get a drink instead of heading back to work. But the thing is that this is a terrifying time because, number one, as a society, we've lost our sense of outrage. There are things that should outrage us. When Bill Maher on his show said, hey, well, let's concede that abortion is murder, but I'm okay with it. There used to be a time in our society that would be an outrageous statement. Now it goes away. No one cares. Our president, our former president, the one that we're pushing big time to win, is Donald Trump, gets assassinated, literally 62 days apart. You know, it's like, wait a minute. And they act like it's no big deal. We're just now investigating the first attempt. It's crazy.
Well I want to do the quote of the day. This is from FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Oh, that's a guy you want to...
No. You got to hear this quote. Today, the FBI would like to send a message to the government of Iran. You and your hackers can't hide behind your keyboards, Wray said in a video statement. If you try to meddle in our elections, we're going to hold you accountable.
Ooh,
oh, my gosh.
Boy.
That's only laughable on 18 different fronts.
Exactly. Strongly worded email to follow.
Right?
Exactly right.
No, it came with a video. But this guy who did nothing about elections the last time because he got to be the FBI director. Now, if the Iranians interfere, now he's going to do something.
Exactly.
Do you think he's pandering for a new job?
You think? Yeah, I got to tell you what. The FBI has lost so much status in the society. And that's they were always considered some gold standard. Well, now they're considered a gold standard of bizarre. Are they the functionaries of the government? Yep, they are. And you know what? Nobody wants us. We don't need Stasi. I don't need KGB. I don't need Gestapo. I need the FBI to protect and preserve our rights and our liberties, not to infringe on them. And I'm frankly disgusted by the things I've seen from that agency. And it's frustrating because this guy, like you said, what an impotent statement he just made. It's pablum.
Well, you've got, and we brought this out on the show yesterday, you've got Health and Human Services not communicating with the FBI, not communicating with Homeland Security, not communicating with the DOD, funneling hundreds of thousands of children into this country where we have no idea where they are. And if we don't know where those children are, we don't know where all these other Chinese, Venezuelan, you name it, are in this country because we've flown people in. This government that is currently running this country has sold us out.
Yes.
And if it wake up, it's like a huge wake up call. What do you need to know or what do you need to have happen before you realize that we're in trouble?
This is the thing. We've reached a tipping point, literally. And what we're seeing is, again, you study, we get more and more people coming across from the Democrat side to the Republican side in our registration. You're seeing us increase in numbers because people, even people you consider loyal Democrats are like, wait, this is not my Democrat Party. Since when does the Democrat Party, not American, not support our society and not support the safety and security of the citizens of this country? And this is the sort of thing where we're seeing this trend now. Let's hope, gang, it only matters if you get out and vote, by the way. Don't get your outrage sitting here listening on the radio going, yeah, boy, that somebody needs to do. You need to do something, folks. This is the point. You need to use this energy, this anger, your fear to activate you to be involved. And it's more important than ever.
And besides Iran interfering here on U.S. soil and trying to interfere with this election. And now they're being blatant about it.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll see some outrage from the other side. You should be concerned. This is a full election. This involves you. And if you don't outcry this, then people shouldn't vote for you, because this is about saving this country. This isn't about, it looks like it's about Donald Trump. It looks like it's about the RNC, but this is about how we conduct our elections, how we choose our leaders.
Exactly. This is literally our way to have a revolution, in terms of every 2 years in our society, we get to pick a whole new legislative branch. That's the House of Republicans and a bunch of senators. And every 4 years we get to choose who runs our country as our president.
You said House of Republicans, you meant House of Representatives, but
boy,
I like where you're going.
Thank you, Dr. Freud, for noticing my slip. Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a House of Republicans. Let's see how that works out.
Then
they can fight amongst themselves.
Oh, exactly.
Oh,
right.
I think they're doing that now. So anyway, we've got an anniversary coming up, and we're going to talk about it next week. But October 7th, and Iran has not left Israel alone in a year.
No. And sadly, America has proven itself to be not as good an ally as we traditionally were for Israel, the only real democracy you have in the Middle East. And it's very interesting to us, if you observe it, like I always have, I always felt it was very important, because they are our linchpin for I think, peace in the Middle East. And we just aren't supporting them the level I would like to see.
Well, I just want to say thank you for coming in today. I think you have a daughter having a birthday tomorrow.
Today?
Today.
Wait, what is today?
Today's the 27th.
27th. You're right. I think it is. I don't know. You know what?
It may be today, maybe.
Boy, did you just put me on the spot here?
Did.
I'm going to...
Well, your wife's out of town, so it's good. It's her daughter.
That's right. So everyone forget that I forgot which day is the birthday.
Okay. All right. And I have a daughter having a birthday tomorrow, and I'm going to mention that at the end of the show. So.
You're right.
But
happy
birthday
to those girls.
I want to thank you for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
And we'll be back with Jeff Uch after this, and we're going to take this song into the break. Welcome back to this Friday edition of Win Tucson, and it's kind of crazy here, and that's good. We're having fun today, despite some really kind of disturbing news. So I am so happy to have Jeff Uch on our show today. And Jeff, welcome to Win Tucson.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kathleen. How are things down there?
They're good. We hope next time when we get to invite you that we'll get to see you in person. But I know you're busy and out doing all kinds of things. So I received an email, because you are getting ready to educate people on some things that are going to be on the ballot. And I wanted people to have the benefit of your knowledge to talk about what's happening. And there's some deadlines. I think UCAVA ballots have gone out. And I just want you to inform my listeners, if you don't mind this first break, of what deadlines and what we should be aware of. So go ahead, take it away.
Well, you know, I'm actually more familiar with the propositions and how important they are than deadlines. But I do know, I believe it's like October 7th. We've got to make sure that we're registered and on the path of being able to vote. And, you know, I'm with, this is really going to be an election of voter turnout, Kathleen, as far as who's going to win, in my humble opinion. We just need to get everybody out there. And it surprises me when I see the number of people who are actively involved in being opinionated on what they, you know, talk about, but then the numbers that show up to vote. And so we've got to encourage a lot of people to get out there and do that.
Jeff, I love that you said that, because it does matter. You can pontificate from your car, from your cell phone, from your living room, but if you don't put your money where your mouth is, and you don't take the time and the energy, you may not have a country. And I'm not an alarmist. I'm not, a tinfoil hat wearer. I need people to understand that what is happening in our country, and I know you know this too, is unprecedented. And if we don't use our voices and we don't vote, what we get afterwards is on us. And I'm hearing, though, that we should have 80% turnout, but that's not enough. I know that sounds like, 80%. We need to have every voter, as President Trump's saying, too big to rig. So go ahead. I think I interrupted you.
Well, No. Well, I go back. I had this discussion yesterday with a good friend, and this good friend is hopeless. Before we should, this is not a time of hopelessness, because mm-hmm. we have a good chance of winning.
Yes.
But the point being is, even if you do feel hopeless, and even if you do feel whoever we send to Washington, it's still not going to matter enough, I get counsel, and, you know, Lincoln gave a speech. It's called the Washington Temperance Speech. And Lincoln was talking to a group of ladies who wanted to make alcohol illegal before they actually did it, you know, in 19-teens.
Prohibition.
This was back in the 1840s. And he just said, look, there's really not a lot of chance of this happening, but if this is something you really believe in, you know, you've got to stand up and do what's right, even if you know you're going to lose. And my point in bringing that up is, even if you don't think your vote's going to matter, you know, Lincoln's it's called the Washington Temperance Speech because he gave it on Washington's birthday. But he said, even if he was the last man alive that believed what he believed, and he did so with a, you know, knowing he was in the correct, that he'd do it even if he knew he would be losing, because it's the right thing to do. And those of us who believe in a hereafter really understand, you know, in the end, we're going to win. But even if we lose the small battles, it's not necessarily, you know, the end that matters. It really is the means. And I believe that's how we'll be judged. And I think it's going to be up to us to do all we can. Our hands are not going to be found spotless.
Well, yes, for a time such as this. And I've often said that God is calling forth an army, and you either answer the call or you stand by and watch. And this is a time for people stand up and answer the call. And right now, you know, many people start to receive early ballots. That's a call. That you took the time to register. Your vote matters. Your voice matters. October 25th is the last day to request a ballot by mail.
There you go.
And don't get your ballot in the mail and then take it in on election day. Don't do that. Don't do that. Mail it in. You have to
get it done.
Yes.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
One of my sayings that I kind of use for my Constitution group that we meet every month is, freedom is not a spectator sport. So this is not get your popcorn and watch and be entertained.
Right.
You are part of the players. You know, you've got to get down on the court and do what you can do. And even if you're the water boy, or the halftime entertainment, or, you know, but it's not a spectator sport. And those who think it is are going to get a rude awakening. And we found out this is a truth because we've neglected education for so long. We've neglected a lot of these issues that all of a sudden we wake up and we wonder, why don't we have control of the universities or, you know, K-12 education? How did we lose control of you know, even the mainstream media or these kind of things? And you know, not that we had control of those in a very long time anyway.
But it's a series of concessions. It's a series of concessions, Jeff. If you concede, you concede, you concede, then you don't have control anymore. Keep going. Sorry.
Well, I think it's a matter of priorities. It's a priority of principles, because we understand a lot of patriots and those who, you know, believe in the founding are busy raising their families and making a living and enjoying their liberties. And, you know, as Washington said, George Washington said, one of my favorite quotes, it's a shame in our form of society we have to feel before we see. And sadly, too many people stay on the sidelines until they're almost forced off the sidelines to participate. But I think a lot of people are feeling the consequences, and that's really why we need to get involved. All of us really do. And whatever the result is, we don't want to have regrets there.
We don't. And I'm gonna now go to the propositions, and we're gonna take a hard break at 1:45. But you jump in and go. You pick whatever number you want, and just talk to my listeners about what you want them to know.
Well, there's more propositions on the ballot than there has been since, I believe, like 1984. But there's a couple really important ones, and I wanted to get your opinion on one. But I believe probably one of the most important, if not the most important to me, is Proposition 135. And this is about reining in the governor's emergency powers.
Yes.
Restrictions on the governor. And this is
way too late. It took the legislative body way too long to do this, and they should have done this back when Ducey was in. It's a shame it took COVID to do this. But we know that the Arizona Constitution, and then by statute, the governor does have emergency powers. And it does not give the governor unbridled power like we let him have during the COVID debacle. You know, the governor should have called an emergency session of the legislature. Why he did not, I really am dumbfounded. Why? Now, there were efforts in the legislature to get him to call an emergency session, but he did not. But look, we fought a revolutionary war over no taxation without representation. And that didn't mean just no executive overreach on taxation. It meant we don't want executive overreach on anything that coerces us without the people being represented.
It created a king who issued edicts, and he picked winners and losers in business, and it was it was the COVID colossal mistake. It was awful.
And this is what happens when we elect. Now look, I like Governor Ducey, and when you get hard times, and they're difficult times, if you aren't founded on a firm, solid foundation of constitutional knowledge, understanding the founding and what your job truly is. You know, I say we know ambition has gone astray when you get to where you want to go and you're not ready to be there. So people who want to lead need to be qualified and ready to lead. And if there was some information about and knowledge and grounding in the founding and why we fought the revolution, what would it have hurt any governor? And by the way, no governor in the entire United States did this within a timely manner. There were a couple that did it way down the path, but it was way too late. What does that tell you about our executive leadership? It doesn't say very good on both sides of the aisle.
No one was ready to lead.
No one was ready to lead, and nobody had the background and foundation. What an opportunity, Kathleen, that was lost for Arizona to lead the way. Can you imagine the governor calling that back in 2020 and saying, look, I have these emergency powers, but they were never intended, and that is correct. They were never intended to be a long-term dictatorial-type governor power delegation. And he could have gotten up and taught that, and he had a leadership role in the United States Republican Governors Association. He could have helped teach all them what they should have done. And it doesn't mean we wouldn't have had a shutdown, Kathleen, but it would have meant, hey, all our senators and state legislators, go to your constituents, hold town meetings, and come back to me, and let's have a big forum on this that we're going to televise. We're going to discuss together and decide what to do. I mean, now there's precedent throughout the nation. If a governor feels like there's an existential threat, let's say to climate change.
Yes.
A governor, both sides of the party can just say, hey, your Suburban with a 454 engine in there is too hazardous to our health. We are going to take that from you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that being bantied around in our legislature. It's important when we're saying all this, I just want to tell people that a yes vote amends the Arizona Constitution to limit the governor's emergency powers to a maximum of 30 days unless explicitly modified by the legislature. So you want to vote yes on 135.
Yes.
Okay.
So highlight it, underline it, make it bold, but 135 is an absolute yes. It's taken too long, but I am so happy with the legislature, because this is a legislator referral proposition, that they're actually getting this. And of course, the current governor wouldn't sign it. And why a governor wouldn't sign this?
They don't want to give up their power. Okay. So we've got about 30 seconds before this break, and then we're going to come back. It'll be a short break. What other one do we want to get started on? What proposition?
Okay, well, let's go down to 3. That's 314 is another one that I think people ought to read very, very you know, get into the fine print, securing the border.
So we know our border's not secure, Jeff?
Right. The border's not secure. Yeah, yeah, imagine that. And so I think it's worth reading that. And so I am going to vote yes on that one.
Yes.
But I think on the other side of the break, we should get into some details
100%.
Of some possible concerns, though, that we have. So I'm voting yes, but with a caveat.
I got it. And we're going to come back. We're talking to Jeff Uch. You're listening to Win Tucson on 1030 The Voice. Stay with us as we unpack the propositions and make you smart. So when you vote the right way. Welcome back to Win Tucson, and we are in the middle of Proposition 314 with Jeff Uch, and I am so grateful that you're here. So, Jeff, before we went to the break, you said you were going to vote yes. I'm just going to tell the listeners, a yes vote amends the Arizona revised statutes to implement the new laws and penalties. So please share with the listeners what this is about.
Well, this is about, you know, basically in the United States Constitution, the federal government has the responsibility to protect republican forms of government and ensure the security and safety of its citizens. And when the federal government does not do that, then the states has a reserved power that was never delegated to the federal government to protect its own borders and its own people and property. And that's exactly what this does. And so I do fully support it. The issue is, though, is the people and the legislative branch and the executive branch need to keep close tabs on how this is being enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does give the state and local law enforcement a lot of power. And just like back when the Patriot Act, and I'm not saying this is as broad and sweeping as the Patriot Act, you know, I was a proponent of the Patriot Act, and it was because we were promised that there were safeguards, checks and balances, that it would not be abused. But what happened? We know it was abused and has been abused. And sometimes, Kathleen, to good end. But yeah. I'm not one that believes the end justifies the means. We have to do things correctly.
Right. And I just
and
want
so,
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go ahead.
I want to because we talk about fentanyl. So one of the things that this does is it imposes an additional 5-year sentence when convicted of selling fentanyl that kills a user. So if you sell fentanyl
right. And
that person dies because of the fentanyl you sold them, you are now going to spend an additional 5 years in jail. And I like this one. It imposes jail time for repeatedly submitting false documentation when seeking employment. I wonder
Correct.
About, I don't, is there something in here about voting, submitting false documentation to vote? I think that one of the things too, it prohibits the submittal of false documentation when seeking federal, state, or local public benefits. I don't know
Correct.
If voting is a benefit, but maybe we could get it covered under there.
No, I think voting is covered. You know, some of these propositions are very short, but some of them are very long. This is a little longer,
mm-hmm.
and that's good in some ways, but it's also one of the few propositions that gives a preamble, Kathleen. So it doesn't just say what it's going to do. It says why this is needed.
Yes.
So in some ways, it's kind of like the Declaration of Independence in reverse, because the Declaration gets into its grievances after it states what it wants to do. But in this particular case, the reason I get a little worried about it is we don't want to create a police state.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want law enforcement officials to just be able to stop for any reason. And in here, it does say you have to have cause.
Right.
But I did have a father-in-law who was a World War II vet and a Korean vet that was very, very, you know, passionate about what kind of powers, you know, Border Patrol and local police would have over its citizens. And so we just have to have that balance. I am voting for it.
Yes.
Because the federal government is not doing its job. And quite frankly, I don't think we have a choice. But I think it is try it out. And let's see if it works. And I think it's a good way to go.
So Jeff, and I agree, and I'll just end with this, and then we'll go on to the next one. It criminalizes entering the state via locations other than lawful ports of entry. So if you come into our state, on a border, and it's not a legal way to enter the state, you now have a criminal offense or a criminal charge. So where do we go next? What is the other one you want to discuss?
Well, let's go back up. You know, let's just start at the beginning, and we'll get through as many as we can, protecting partisan primaries. You know, this amends the Arizona Constitution to continue current laws allowing political parties to nominate their own candidates. So this protects from pretty much having open primaries. So Republicans can vote Republicans, Democrats can vote Democrat, and having open primaries, I think, look, it does allow independent voters to vote, but it also can create a lot of problems, as we've seen in other states. So I'm certainly in favor of 133.
Yes, a yes vote. Go ahead.
134, and just speak over me. Yeah, if I'm talking, you want to butt in.
No.
But 134, I really like this. Geographic distribution in order to get propositions on the ballot.
Yes.
Isn't this neat? I think this is a great idea, and it kind of takes into account like our founders' ideal of the Electoral College. You can't just get all the signatures in
Maricopa.
The big cities. Right. Mm-hmm. You've got to go to all the legislative districts and get the same proportionate number of votes that you need to for a regular proposition. So you just can't get it in Maricopa and Pima counties.
And we have 30, we have 30 Arizona legislative districts. Sure. We have 15 counties. And I think I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I really like that. I think it's very smart. You know, we went over 135, which is the biggest one for me. I really like that. 136 talks about ballot measures being challenged constitutionally. So it used to be if the citizens put a ballot measure on the ballot, a proposition on the ballot, the citizen-driven proposition, that you could not challenge its constitutionality until after it was approved or not. And this way, it can be challenged ahead of time.
Yes.
I like it, and I'm voting yes on that.
Well, and hopefully we don't waste money that because something's not constitutional. Right. We don't spend that energy. And
correct.
I think, you know, I always thought it was kind of backwards that we were doing it after the fact anyway. So I agree with you. What next?
Well, let's go over judicial retention. Proposition 137. I'm in favor of this. And I'll tell you why. This has to do with voting for judges on the ballots, because most people that vote don't know the judges anyway. And so this would limit the judges going on the ballot to approve to keep them or not. Only those judges who are under some type of disciplinary action or potential complaints. And so I kind of like what this does. You have some people for it and against it. And I'll be honest, on this one, it's opposed by some people I usually don't agree with.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you can just tell, and I'm not saying that we do this because we all want to think for ourselves.
Yes.
But it's certainly a lot of times on these propositions, you can look who is for and against, and that can kind of steer and guide you the way you should go. But basically, I do think it prevents or limits politicalization of judicial retention elections. And it reduces judicial retention elections to only those that focus on judges not meeting certain standards. So I really like that one.
So, Jeff, you've got one more.
138.
You got one. This is your last minute.
Oh, one more.
Okay.
Well, really, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
This is one that I thought you would be really interested in.
Yes.
Is the sex trafficking, number 313.
Yes.
So I'm going to vote yes on that, but I have a few caveats and concerns, but
sure.
I really wanted to ask you your opinion on
sure.
that one.
Go ahead.
313. Yeah, I wanted to hear what you had to say, Kathleen, on the penalties for sex trafficking, because I know you've worked so hard in that area.
Here's
years and years.
A yes sentence vote modifies the ARS to impose strict sentencing and ineligibility for parole for child sex trafficking. This is a big step. This is I've gotten penalties increased. Normally, we were taught to do it incrementally. What this does is it's a mandatory life sentence. If you are convicted, not charged, but if you are convicted of having sex or being convicted of a child sex trafficking charge. So those that harm our children, sexual exploitation, I have no, I have compassion for human beings, but I have no no patience, no understanding. And as we look at our society right now and the hypersexualization, I'm voting yes on this.
Yes. Yeah. So. This one, Kathleen, I'm still thinking on. I probably will vote yes. There's a couple sentences, because this is another kind of long
yes,
one.
Yes, yes.
There's a couple sentences in the proposition itself that do concern me.
Yes.
And in other words, because, hey, look, if somebody's out there sex trafficking or having sex with a minor, I have no problems. I mean, it's just cut and dry.
Jeff.
And to me, you know, rape at that instance, even more punishment. But there's some things here where I think some people might could be swept up, and to not give a judge some leniency to understand, hey, this happened in this. That's my only concern with this, is that, we really want to go bend over backwards to help some people who may not be doing what's accused of them. And this is pretty
exactly.
Harsh.
Yeah, exactly. It's extreme. Yeah. Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on. I've got a little tribute I want to do before the end of this show, and I've only got a little time left. So I will have you back before
right.
the
thank
election.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Have a great weekend. Well, so tomorrow, 40 years ago, I was at TMC, not till the evening. And I had, it was the first time that I gave birth. And I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl who was turning 40 tomorrow. And I can't believe that I have a 40-year-old. But she is exceptional. And she is the oldest of our five daughters. And she has two kids herself. And she's the oldest girl, and I was the oldest girl, and she's the oldest cousin. And she is a wonderful sister, a wonderful mother, a wife, a daughter, an aunt, a niece, a granddaughter. And Melissa has brown eyes, in case you were paying attention to the music choices. And I am very blessed to be her mom. And so tomorrow, we will celebrate Melissa Jeanette Proctor Black turning 40 years old. So happy birthday to my baby girl, who is all grown up and a wonderful, wonderful woman. Everyone go out and make it a great weekend. Happy birthday.